And now, I'd like to show my love by making for you a Quebec pizza.
What's that?
Pop-Tart with the ketchup. She's good.
Daniel Parmack, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Ba-la-la-la.
It's showtime.
This is TTN at the Movies, episode 5 for September 17th, 2017. TTN at the Movies, brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like All Beer Inside, Hanging with Heavy, and The Tuts Experience. Welcome back to TTN at the Movies. Your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before we get to this week's panel, let's get into the contact information. TTNATM.com is a website that'll be up soon where you can listen to archive episodes, have all the contact information. If you want to get in touch with me, at STFU Old School on the Twitter. And I will also have an email shortly, too. Everything's going to be up for next week, I promise. And I'll have that information when that comes about. Our panelists this week, the one and only Iron Man, coming back from the old OSCT. Oh, no, actually, didn't you miss a week? I'm trying to remember now. You did.
I did miss a week, but then technically now being divided up with other people, so I wasn't on the last episode either.
Yeah, fuck it. Iron Man, heavy set.
If there's a need for a rescue mission, when the world is threatened, when the world needs help, it calls on America. So I know who's asked to kick.
It's a collaboration. Go ahead.
I did not.
Did not hear you. It's not true. It's bullshit.
I did not. Oh, hi, Old School.
Oh, hi, Heavy. Along with Heavy Set, we've got our trusted panelist member who has still lost his car.
Dude, where's my car?
ATM.
Where's your car, dude?
Yeah.
As I have explained multiple times. That car is a total loss, and I have another car now, which I don't have car payments for.
It was funnier when I was asking him where's his job.
It was kind of mean, though. It was,
and
like,
I've got one of those now too. I've had it since May.
There you go. I thought the job was a bit of a dig, though. The car is like, the job's like, eh, I don't know.
I'd rather be jobless than carless.
Oh, okay.
I look at it like this. I've been unemployed before too. Yeah. So it's kind of like I felt his pain. I never like dug really that hard, but even Carb be like, ooh,
yeah, you know, even Carb can take it. You know what I mean? Like we fucking dish each other all the time. But yeah, all right.
Taking it, we have Will on. No, Will's not here.
No. Hold on.
Speaking of taking Will, it.
Cock talk.
Speaking of Will, get this. I listened to the Mr. Skin podcast because I enjoy female nudity in film. And he mentions that he bought MrMan.com. So I immediately go on Facebook and private message Will, because on his wall would be a little bit of a dick move.
Oh, no. I thought you would have done. I was ready for you to do it. I swear to God.
And so I write, "Hey man, from the makers of Mr. Skin, for all your celeb cock needs, MrMan.com." He did not sound impressed.
No.
He didn't sound impressed because he already registered the domain name and he was trying to get it himself.
Well, maybe that's why he lost it. That's why he lost it to Mr.
Oh, you there, Carp?
Sorry, I hit mute by mistake. Let's see if I've got the response still.
I thought it was Canadian internet.
A.H. Walker, Canada?
No, Canada.
Oh, well. But yeah, it was something like, "Oh, thanks. You know, it was all a big joke." I'm like, sure it was. Sure it was.
We don't judge on this show.
not anymore.
Not at all. We never judge on this show. All right. We got some Star Wars news, and I know Carp's a huge Star Wars fan. Well, not huge. He's a fan. So we're going to get his thoughts. Well, because you're not a Trekkie. You're more of a Star Wars guy, right?
Star Wars.
Because all I heard was no from... Okay. Star Wars Episode 9 will apparently be directed by J.J. Abrams. The news that Colin Trevorrow was leaving the director's chair for Star Wars Episode 9 left us all wondering exactly who Lucasfilm might find to replace him. Now the decision has apparently been made. Rumors have indicated the studio is considering asking one of the previous saga directors to come back to finish the trilogy, but while most eyes were on Star Wars The Last Jedi, director Rian Johnson, it will be Star Wars The Force Awakens director J.J. Abrams who will be back to direct Episode 9. Star Wars franchise has had a tough time with directors since coming back with this new trilogy, which may be why the word following Colin Trevorrow's departure was that the studio was considering the two directors they hadn't had any problems with. Rian Johnson made comments over the weekend that seemed to take him out of the running for the Episode 9 job, which made it a bit less surprising that J.J. Abrams now has been chosen, as Lucasfilms has now officially announced. In addition to directing the final film of the trilogy, Abrams will also co-write the script for the movie alongside Chris Terrio. Like, I ain't a huge Star Wars fan, but 7 was fun nostalgia seeing the old characters, and yes, maybe it was a rehash of one of the older movies, but it was feel good. It was a nice popcorn flick. It was fun to watch, and even as a Trekkie, I enjoyed it. And I love the fact that Han Solo died. Yeah.
Spoiler alert, asshole.
Sorry, fuck Star Wars. I don't care. Fuck Chewie, too, that piece of shit. Okay. You know, and as a Trek fan, J.J. Abrams is close to my heart. I was a huge fan of his adaptation of Star Trek. So, a little butthurt that he switched over, but who cares? You know, fuck it. It was good. So, it makes sense they're going to go back to him. I mean, he's tried and tested. It's worked out for him. I'm not quite sure exactly what happened with Rian Johnson there. They don't really get into many details. So, exactly why he wasn't picked or whatever. But studios historically will go with shit that works. That's why we see so many rehashing and sequels and redos. Carp, your thoughts on J.J. Abrams being picked for Star Wars Episode 9?
Remember Star Wars? Remember Chewbacca? Remember how good Star Wars was? Yeah, I mean, he did an all right job. And like, now that it's much better than the prequel George Lucas did. Imagine they'd said like, hey, Lucas is coming back. The internet would have collectively lost its shit. Disney's known for giving very difficult times to directors, and they give them very limited creativity. So this would probably be the main reason why Trevorrow left. I mean, he did Jurassic World, which was a great movie. And, you know, they gave Rian Johnson, who didn't have much beforehand, a chance with Rogue One, and Rogue One did pretty fucking good. So, It's to me, it's just creativity differences between Disney/Lucasfilms and the directors. And, you know, they find their slave directors, and they'll stick to them. Abrams did an okay job with Episode 7. Yeah. I can't see him do a terrible job with Episode 9, so...
Have you said you want to chime in? Or?
I mean, as long as he doesn't try to redo Return of the Jedi as 9.
Yeah, yeah.
But other than that, like, I mean, I'm not a big Star Wars fan, but I do love, the time of the year that they decided to put these out now. December fits them like a glove, and it's now become a Christmas tradition to go out with my friend's family to go see whatever the new Star Wars movie. We just did 2 years in a row, and we're probably going to do, you know, this year and the next year too.
Isn't it great that they got it off fucking Lucas's hands now, and they're going to actually come out with a bunch of movies? They might water it down in a sense. It's not going to be as, you know, religiously looked at as the first three, but I mean, there is an appetite for it. It's a franchise that people wanted to see continue. And like you mentioned, like, it's now becoming a tradition, and I'm sure a lot of moviegoers are the same way, that they're going to want to go see that Star Wars movie. So there's a lot of money to be made there. Okay. Next news story. It's a bit of an old school thing, but I thought it was interesting to mention because I am a very huge fan of Minority Report. Tom Cruise fan too. He's probably my second favorite actor, and I know some people on the panel are not huge fans for different reasons, religious reasons maybe. But yeah. So an interesting tidbit of information regarding Minority Report, and apparently Colin Farrell wasn't the first choice. It was actually Javier Bardem. And for those who have seen the movie, to me, I cannot picture Javier Bardem in that kind of cop trying to chase Tom Cruise role. It just seems really fucking off. And apparently at the time, he was kind of happy it didn't work out because his English wasn't that great. He does still speak with a pretty heavy accent, but he's obviously understandable. You know what I mean? That's kind of his shtick. But it just, to me, even if he was at the English level he is now, his personality and just the way I've seen him in different roles and the accent just would have been off-putting. Do you guys agree or disagree?
Well, I mean, you know, he wasn't really made until No Country for Old Men, and this would have been well before that. So, like, he's an A-lister now, but then he was not even... Right. He wasn't even close to it. I mean, he was playing characters named Lorenzo and Ramon and Felix. You know, he wouldn't have been cop hunting down cop who has psychic...
Well, let's just say, like, for, you know, ideally that, you know, like, he was good enough to speak pretty good English.
If he had done it after No Country, fine. But before, he was an unknown. Colin Farrell was known at the time. It would have been stupid. Honestly, it would have... I don't think it would have helped the movie in any way whatsoever.
Yeah. All right. We'll play it at the end of the episode, but it's a check
it out. It's a PSA.
It's a PSA from Georgie from It, the new It movie. Essentially warning talking and texting during movies. And like they have this
Charlie podcast Charlie.
Yeah, fucking Tommy Texter and a Susie Sea Kicker and a Sally
Carp, do you need Carp, do you need some holes? You know, your throat sounds a little messed up. Yeah.
No, I mean, I've seen a bunch of Alamo Drafthouse gets all these actors to do the PSAs.
I think it's genius.
It is genius, and I am 100% in with Alamo Drafthouse. You don't fucking talk, you don't text during a movie. It's that simple. If you do, you're a dick, and you should be dragged out into the street and shot, put one in the back of your head.
It's the kids, too. The kids, and again, I don't want to be like that guy, it's the damn kids, they don't respect it. But they don't. They're fucking dude. Like, there's got to be some common decency in fucking public, man. Especially during a movie. A movie is more, even though you go as a group, it is a solitary fucking experience. Where you don't need to be talking with your friends all, you know, you just, maybe sometimes you're like, oh shit, that kind of thing. Just, it ruins the experience. It takes you out of that kind of zone that you're in when you, that fucking like, almost like a trance that you're in when you're engulfed into a movie. You know what I mean? So then that just totally takes you out of it.
I mean, they don't have to do anything like this at the beginning of Fantasia, which is a film festival, a genre movie film festival. They don't do this. People don't talk. They just have their markout moments or they laugh. It's a fun crowd to be with. Like, remember the Friday the 13th we went to at AMC? How awesome the crowd was?
Yeah, and they cheered during the murders.
Why do people have to converse? If you want to talk, you do it before the movie or after. If you're telling me you can't talk for an hour and a half to 2 hours in your life, you've got a serious fucking problem.
I have an issue with my girlfriend. She does like talking in the middle of movies. But I've tried to work it out to a point, like, if you're going to talk, whisper really soft into someone's ear. Because it's not going to carry as far. So you're not going to ruin everybody else's experience. I think the problem that we had when we went to go see it is we had, I swear to God, it was like this huge group of people in front of us, probably literally a good maybe 10 to 15 people. And, you know, they're all like in the mode of, oh, like, let's like kind of talk in the middle of the movie. I mean, they're probably talking about the movie and all this kind of stuff. That's fine. If you're going to do that at home. That's what those type of moments are for. But if you're at a movie theater, fucking, if you can't whisper to the person in their ear because there are a couple people down, shut up. And the problem is they brought a friend who also really wasn't into the movie. For part of the movie, they were sitting there playing fucking game on their phone. I'm like, why are you here?
Yeah, because I know my first experience with Charlie was Iron Man 3. She leans over and she's basically like, I didn't see the other two. Can you get me up to date? It's like,
Fuck. You suck. Fuck. You couldn't ask me that 5 minutes before we started the movie?
Jeez. Or just not go see the third one without seeing the other two.
Yeah, the great genius logic there, buddy.
So
amazing.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, you'll be having a lot of shots during the second recording. That's all we're saying. Okay. Movie review of the week next up. It. Here we go.
Wait, where's the trailer?
Oh, you want the trailer then the review?
No, of what's not on the notes. The trailer, the full trailer that came out.
Oh, well, that'd be for like the upcoming. Well, yeah, we could do the trailer now. Okay, fuck it. Yeah, let's do it. So for those who listen to this podcast and listen to like every other thing I do, they know I'm a huge fan of the movie The Room. Now, for those who have been living under a rock, there is a book that was created called The Disaster Artist from one of the people who starred in The Room, Greg Sestero. And he recants like the entire story. It's also an audiobook too, which it's really well done because Sestero nails the accent. He does the accent throughout the book. And just the whole story about like how it was made, how he met Tommy and stuff is It's a great read. I think it's got like a 4.5 star out of 5, whatever, on Amazon. It's an amazing read. Really recommend you check it out. If you're a fan of The Room, or even if you're not, if you just want to know about weird stories about actors and just like their life story is so intriguing that you don't even have to watch the movie before, but you'll be more intrigued to watch it after. Anyways, in a nutshell, that book got picked up by Franco's production company, Franco. And him and his brother actually are going to star in an adaptation of the movie about the making of a movie. Oh, it's a movie about a book about the making of a movie. Yeah. The Disaster Artist, it's called. And the there was a teaser trailer, but the actual full trailer is now available. I will play that for you now.
Los Angeles, everybody want to be star. You have to be the best and never give up.
When I get up on stage in front of people, all I can think about is, what if they laugh at me? But you, man, you're fearless. I want to feel that too.
I don't care. I'll do it.
You and me, we both have this dream.
Yeah, I guess we do.
And we'll be famous. We'll show them. Watch out, here we go. To be or not to be.
It's not going to happen for you. Not in a million years.
But after that? This town, Greg. They don't want me.
Wish we could just make our own movie.
A great idea. So there's this guy, Johnny, a true American hero, to be played by me. He has it all. Good luck, many friends. And also, maybe Johnny is a vampire. We'll see.
This set of the alleyway looks exactly like the real alleyway.
That's right.
Well, why don't we just shoot in the real alleyway?
Because it's a real Hollywood movie.
No, yeah, sounds good.
Okay.
Action!
I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
What the f- it doesn't work if you're looking at the camera.
And then this beautiful girl, anything for my princess. She betrayed him.
And then this guy, Johnny.
He go crazy. Nobody respect my vision.
You are a villain.
I do this whole movie for you, Greg. You are tearing me apart, Lisa.
Cut?
Why you cut, Sandy? This is great. This is real acting.
If you're gonna writhe around with the dress, maybe do it before you shoot yourself in the head and blow your brains out.
I disagree.
You're really gonna make this thing?
We are going to die. Together.
Tommy, this is not necessary.
No, very necessary. I need to show my ass to sell this movie.
I think you're aiming a little bit.
I aim what I aim. Just do the scene.
Why is he having sex with her belly button? He knows where her vagina is, right?
So yeah, it's really cool to see this on film. I guess it's, you know, fans of Game of Thrones or whatever, Walking Dead, you know, like who have read the comics, read the books, see it on screen. To me, that's the equivalent of that, of reading about this book and all the story about it. And now, to be able to see the film adaptation. And like, there's a lot of early rumors that this, he might get an Oscar nod. Like, he gets the accent almost perfect. Like, he really worked hard at it. Like I mentioned in a previous episode, he actually method acted and he was directing the film as Tommy Wiseau, directing himself. Like, it was really fucked up. Anyways, really got into the role. And so I'm super stoked to see it. And when I posted it on my Facebook wall, there are a bunch of people who I didn't know were even fans of The Room who were like freaking out. So this is definitely going to be a debut, like first night. If it's in VIP cinema, Carp's probably right. It won't be. But if it is, I'll go. If not, I'll line up for it. It's very excited to see this movie.
You shouldn't have added that word probably.
I said probably. Yeah, yeah, you're right. Heavy Set, first, your thoughts. The air and air.
I'm a nay. It's just, no, yeah, I'm a yay. Yeah. All because you fuckers made me watch the original.
Whoa, hey, whoa.
I know, you weren't here. Fine.
Heavy, but you got it. You're a fan of audiobooks, right?
I haven't listened to an audiobook in a long time. I haven't had as much time as I used to when I was over the road.
Okay. If you ever have the fucking inclination or the motivation, you got to listen to this book. It is fantastic. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, because you fuckers made me watch this, like, literally early in my relationship with my girlfriend, she's over. I'm watching the movie with you guys, and I have my headset on, so she can't even hear the audio. And she's just like, literally during the first, like, 15 minutes, she's like, what the fuck? What the fuck is this shit?
Yeah, because it's like the first 20 minutes are like a porn.
And I've explained to her, I'm like, we have to rewatch that now before we we go see this movie. And she's like, why? I don't want to. It's shitty. And I'm like, I don't care either.
Dude, let her read or listen to that book. It'll get her into it. I swear to God, it's so fucking good.
But yeah, definitely a yay. And I'm looking forward to it.
Carp, have you ever seen her? I think I've asked you 80 times.
And I have not seen it.
Would you see this movie, though?
I would want to see the disaster of a movie the first one is, because if I'm willing to go see a disaster that Tusk was, obviously this shouldn't be a problem for me.
There you go. Cool. Well, if you need access to it, I can accommodate. All right. Get into the weekend box office for this week.
About the movie.
Oh, whoops. Yeah. My bad. Movie review.
You're terrible.
It was heavy set, got me all fucking discombobulated. Okay, movie review of the week. A lot of factors really helping it. Good buzz, not a lot going on in the box office previously. Kind of like a dead weekend. And it broke box office records. Was it 110 million?
117 opening.
Holy shit. Yeah, a lot more than I'm sure they expected. Carp, I don't believe you've seen it. Heavy Set has, though.
Yes, I have.
Okay, let's get your review.
It was horrible.
Okay, the original. Let's close the show.
If you like the original, in my own opinion, I think you're going to be blown away with how much better this is. I haven't got a chance to read the book. That's actually, if I do go back to audiobooks, I kind of want to listen to the It audiobook, because that's like 1,100-page book or something like that. And I watched a couple of videos on YouTube that before I went to go see this movie, talking about the differences between the book and the 90s made-for-TV movie, or the 1990 made-for-TV movie or miniseries. And there's so much that they didn't put in the miniseries because A, it's 1990, B, it's fucking ABC, regular standard television. So there's going to be so much censorship that, you know, they are not going to allow full Stephen King to come out in this particular, in that particular adaptation. Well, now it's 2017. The effects are a million times better. And most importantly, it's rated R compared to made for TV. Like, this is a night and day difference. And they get as close to Stephen King as you probably can.
Did he have anything to do with the movie? Do you know?
That I'm not 100% sure. But a lot of the things that I heard that is like a big difference between the book and the 90s made-for-TV movie or miniseries. Keep saying movie. But some of those differences are shown. Like, not really spoiling anything, but in the 90s made-for-TV miniseries, it's always Pennywise. That is the only thing that it comes out as is Pennywise. And that's not how the book is. Sometimes Pennywise takes, or it takes different forms because it adapts to your fears. Actually, technically he did appear as a werewolf once, but you almost always associate it with Pennywise. In this one, they do go more into these other different variations. And a lot of times it just has to do with someone's fear. Another difference is the girl. Beverly. She has a more fucked up childhood than the only thing that they could show you was her dad beat her. He did more than that, if you know what I mean.
Oh, fuck.
100% creepy. Wow. And they touch on it. They don't come out and say it because fucked up, but they hint at it to where you go, oh, okay. And there's obviously some other things that are a big differences from the book and the miniseries. One thing that I will share, because it blew my mind. And there's many different things, but one of the big differences, and I don't think you're going to see it in this movie either, is the fact that after they have the experience with beating Pennywise as kids, and this, as far as what I've been told, is
holy
true.
Shit.
Hold on.
Wow.
I haven't got into it yet. Okay. They all have all the kids have a gangbang with Beverly.
What?
I don't know if it's a gangbang. They all fuck her after the incident. All of them. The only thing that they really touch on that miniseries is the fact that, like, you know, she kisses all of them, or she's kind of close to all of them. But I mean, that doesn't really. It's a big stretch of going from one to the other. But that's just one thing you won't see. Okay, going back to this one. One of the biggest things that everybody came into this wondering, how good was Pennywise going to be? I forget the dude's name. I just watched a video on him, his appearance on a late night show. And in my opinion, he knocked it out of the park. It is a comparison to Jack Nicholson's Joker and Heath Ledger's Joker. And it's going to depend on like what you prefer and whatnot, but I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. Tim Curry was great. Probably one of the best things of the miniseries. But this guy takes the character of Pennywise and he just fucking amplifies it. We go from that cheesy 90s freaking miniseries to obviously the rated R fucking movie. Way, way creepier. And I think they did a really good balance of special effects and practical effects. There's times where I'm pretty sure they're using some practical, and there's other times that it's okay, it's a little bit of special effects, CGI, whatever. I loved it. And I don't, if this might be a spoiler to some people, I look forward to chapter 2.
Spoiler alert!
But, okay, just when you think about it, the miniseries was a two-parter, and it divided up from when they were young and when they were adults. This movie that you've seen, advertised, is predominantly them all young.
Okay, okay.
If they're going to do the whole story, there has to be more. There's going to be more.
Oh, yeah. Look at the box office. Yeah, that's going to be for sure.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. I don't think there's any official word that, like, Chapter 2 is going to happen.
It's definitely happening no matter what.
If here's, it wasn't, it is now.
Yeah. It's one of those things. It has to be happening now.
So here's the great part. In the story of it, it only reappears every 27 years. The TV series, 1990. The new movie, 2017.
Now that's well done. If that was planned, holy shit.
The miniseries, though, they say it's 30. That's another stretch, but I think that's so they could do the kind of jump that they needed to do. But in the book and in the movie, it's 27 years. And all the kids are supposed to be around the age of 12 because they mentioned that, you know, they're going to be in their
early 40s.
Early 40s.
Yeah.
How'd that math go, Scott Steiner?
Whatever.
You take the 2, you plus 17 equals negative 45. All right.
But I would rate it 5 stars. Not a...
Well. Have you ever given around. A 5?
The only movie, I think it's rare because it has to be perfect. And a lot of times I don't think it's a critical, like, oh yeah, it's a 5-star that way. I feel like as a fan of something, like certain things can get a 5. Yeah. What this does, it gets a 5. The last 5 that I gave that I know and was before this show was, and a lot of people are going to laugh, was Saw 7. Only because I thought that was a great ending to the series until now.
Yeah.
More on that in a couple months.
Well, I mean, listen, art is subjective, man. You know, everybody has their opinion on it. So, yeah, if this is not really my cup of tea. I'm just not into fucking this kind of shit. But just because I'm
a big scared guy, old school.
No,
scared of the clown. No. Does the clown scare you?
No, it's just I've never understood why people would want to kind of scare themselves. It's not an emotion I liked having.
Are you scared?
It's not a thrill. Like I don't. Why would you?
Not gonna be able to go home and go sleep without a nightlight.
I don't like horror movies because most of them are cheesy.
Yeah.
Maybe for the years of being a wrestling fan, I sit down and when I watch horror movie, I'm trying to go. Okay, is this person gonna die next? And I'm trying to like figure out like the twist.
Because Carp is mentioned too. Like he watches the movies now as a smark, like as a horror smark.
Yeah. But I'm not really like I didn't walk into it scared. Granted, my girlfriend scared shitless.
She hates clowns though, right?
Oh my god!
Did a clown eat a banana? Because if that's the case, she'd off herself, right?
No.
Now. Okay.
No, like I did say on Hanging with Heavy, the fact that I forgot the original that Pennywise turns into a spider.
Oh shit!
That like she hates spiders.
Like your Facebook profile is just photos of you like freaking out and her looking at you like what the fuck. And that's every fucking photo you have of her. Her just like, what am I doing with this guy? He's crazy.
Oh yeah, I'm telling you, she cried 3 times.
Oh shit.
She told me 3 times during this movie, she's like, I can't do it. I can't do it. And I told him, like, just stay. Everything's fine. Because I know how she is, and it's going to be, it turns into, I can't do it, I can't do it. And then if I were to leave with her, because she even said, like, oh, like later on, she was like, oh, if I would have left her, she's like, well, you could have just stayed in. I'm like, no, I couldn't have. that makes me look like an asshole. Like, oh yeah, she's fine. I'll just stay here and watch this fucking movie. And I'm like, no, I would have to come with you. And then you would have felt guilty and you would have wanted to repay me for my ticket in your ticket. I'm like, no, just stay. we'll just go past all that shit. That's why I was telling you, like, just I'll help you out. Everything's going to be fine.
All right, let's get into the weekend box office. Break it down. As mentioned earlier, It had a record-breaking weekend gross. Actually, it was $123 million this week on a budget of $35. Holy shit. Four numbers weren't as great. Still $66 million. It's got a total worldwide gross of over $200 million in 1 week. Yeah, we're definitely seeing a It 2.
It's also currently the third highest horror R-rated movie for lifetime gross.
Fucking incredible.
Just below Get Out, which was amazing, and The Exorcist. And I don't think it's beating The Exorcist. The Exorcist is over $230 million lifetime.
Reese Witherspoon's Home Again debuted with $8.5 million on a $12 million budget. Yeah, she's gonna make her money back. I mean, nothing crazy. I don't know if she's that big a draw anymore. I still think she's hot.
Have you seen pictures of her newly 18-year-old daughter?
Horror? That's her name?
Horror? No. Wow.
Oh, really?
She's like hotter, younger Reese Witherspoon.
Wow. Okay. And she's legal. Third place, Hitman's Bodyguard, $4.8 million. Total domestic of $64 million. On a $30 million budget, it's pretty much made its money back, which is good. Annabelle Creation, $4 million. Wind River, $3.1 million. Leap, $2.4 million. Spider-Man Homecoming, still making some money. $2 million. Total domestic of $327. Total worldwide gross of $823. Hoping that the new British Spider-Man keeps going. I think he's going to be the next kind of franchise there. And it's cool that Sony and Marvel are playing nice. Dunkirk, $1.8 million. Total domestic of $183. Total worldwide of $493. So Christopher Nolan, congratulations once again. Logan Lucky, $1.6 million. And to run off the top 10, The Emoji Movie with $1.1 million. Total domestic gross of $82 million. Movies coming out this week. Let's take a look. Nothing.
It's the most shitty full time of the year.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can get yeah.
Turn off your brain action flick with Michael Keaton, American Assassin, some fucked up looking drama called Mother with Jennifer Lawrence, speaking of Javier Bardem, Ed Harris, Michelle Pfeiffer, directed and written by Darren Aronofsky. So,
you know what? Let's play the trailer for American Assassin because I'm actually a huge fan of Michael Keaton. So,
these are your targets. Memorize. It's your responsibility to be able to identify. Combatant shoots you. Let's just say you're going to feel it.
What happened to that kid on the beach? It changed him. You can't train that into someone. Gun skills, martial arts. You want a killer? Here he is.
He's non-compliant.
It's front and center.
What makes you think you can make it through my selection process?
My guess is if you and I go hand to hand, you could probably figure out inside of 20 seconds whether or not I have what it takes to make it through your selection process. So, what do you think?
He's ready, Stan.
Actually, Irene, he's not ready.
But he will be.
Get back up.
You're gonna cover my ass.
What's the mission, sir?
Eliminate the target.
Keep your eyes open and wait for my orders.
Something's wrong.
Target's gone.
Mission terminated.
Authorize you to make contact.
I took the initiative, sir.
You disobeyed a direct order.
No, I made a decision to pursue the target, and I completed the mission. And sir, isn't that what I'm here to do? Isn't that my job?
Your job to do what I tell you to do.
Who was that guy in his symbol? Seems like he was a step ahead of us.
Everything he did there, I taught him how to do it.
4 days ago, 15 kilos of plutonium went missing. Weapons grade.
We got 48 hours.
That guy he trained? Who the hell is he?
Bucky has the nuclear weapon.
Gotta stop this guy.
It's like a 5-minute trailer. Okay, so I think we got the idea here. American Assassin with Michael Keaton in it. I'm very much interested now. This kind of sold me. Like you said, kind of a popcorn flick. You know, leave your mind at the door. But huge fan of Michael Keaton. And it's cool to see him in this kind of role. Don't remember him being in this role. The last action one was kind of when he played Vulture. So resurrection of his career, which is kind of cool. I want to see this movie. It's a yay for me. Heavy set.
I'm an A.
Wow, okay. Carpe diem.
I'm a maybe. I don't know. It's Taylor Kitsch is fucking terrible, man. So it's, I don't think it's going to be enough Keaton to justify going to see this movie. Okay. Maybe when it's on Netflix.
All right, cool. Okay, now that's pretty much it. Yeah, not a lot, like we said, out this week. Another good week to catch up on a couple of movies if you haven't seen any. Okay, Carp, do you have anything for the bargain bin?
I watched Beer Fest again, my annual viewing.
Well, I don't think you've ever actually reviewed it, although you've mentioned it was one of your favorite kind of movies.
Spoiler alert.
Fucking sound. Okay.
Cock, spoiler alert.
You know, that's what you did with Will. You're like, hey, go to Mr. Skin. Cock, spoiler alert. All right, so let's get into your bargain bin.
You are such a piece of shit.
Oh,
hey,
let's chill.
But I'm a piece of shit.
That's true.
Who headbutts Vince McMahon and busts him open.
Oh, okay. I know this ain't a wrestling podcast and I don't have one anymore and blah, blah, blah. What a fucking crazy segment. What a good... Oh, my God. So fucking good. Wow.
I haven't watched...
Dude, check it out on YouTube. The thing with Vince. Him and Vince.
I haven't downloaded. I haven't recorded. I just haven't watched it yet.
Okay. One of the most powerful segments I've seen in a while. It's Owens at his fucking best. And even McMahon being vulnerable. So good. Anyways, yeah. Sorry.
So, yeah.
Bargain Bin.
Beer Fest. It's... From the guys of Broken Lizard, who brought you Super Troopers and an unfortunate attempt at a comedy horror called Club Dread, bring you a couple of brothers who head out to Germany to bury their grandfather's ashes, end up in a beer drinking scenario, and train to go back to Germany to prove the Germans that Americans can outdrink them, which we all know wouldn't happen. Super entertaining. I've always liked it. Just the ridiculous things. I mean, the movie's been out years now. Landfill dies and his twin brother replaces him and also wants to be called
his exact twin brother
and also wants to be called Landfill.
Yeah.
So they don't have to get through the awkward getting to know each other phase.
I was about to say, like, that's one of, like, my favorite moments of that movie. And that actor in general, like, he's one of the few of that group that I've seen in other things, like, as much as I have. Because he was on How I Met Your Mother, and you probably wouldn't... some people wouldn't recognize him, not you guys, but some people wouldn't recognize him. Dark Knight.
He was also in the Dukes of Hazzard movie with...
He was in fucking Dark Knight. What? Well, what?
Oh, I knew you would be the one to not realize it. When one of the Joker hostages, and he has to, like, read a prepared statement from the Joker, and it's whenever it ends with, like, you know, it'd be a real shock to the bridge and tunnel crowd.
I guess I'll be watching Dark Knight because holy shit. Wow.
Name is Kevin Heffernan.
Mind blown. All right.
Yeah. He was Ted Mosby, porn star in How I Met Your Mother. Most of the guys from Broken Lizard have had bit parts on TV shows. You know, Jake Chandrasekhar, he's done a bunch of funny things. His moment, too, where it's like, you're drunk, I'm drunk, everybody's drunk. And they show him, like, with his beer goggles and then the actual...
Oh, that was fucking fantastic. Side by side, yeah.
My favorite line from that, and I always use it, is the whole slap and tickle thing. Like, I'll walk up to people and go, slap and tickle.
You know what? If you like a good comedy about drinking beer, you got to watch Beer Fest, man. It's one of my top five comedies of all time. I do a yearly viewing. I love this movie. I mean, even Will Forte and the German actors, Nate Faxton, the two other ones, you know, oh, let me slap a nipple on that for you. I remember my first beer. It's just, there's so much over-the-topness. Even Jürgen... the main old German guy being in the U-boat. He's like, oh, I had a bad experience in one of these once, taking a shot at his role in U-Boat back in the day. Just, it's so good. For me, it's a 10 out of 10, this movie. So.
Awesome. Carp, thank you very much for that. And yeah, definitely check it out. If you haven't checked out Beer Fest, like, it's Carp's favorite movie, but it is actually a very good movie. I agree. Okay, no feedback because we don't have any email or real Twitter yet, but we will be getting that soon. So let's close the show. Plugs, final thoughts, Carpe Diem.
Personally, at Killer Carpe Diem, our other shows, CFL Easy Picks at CFL Easy Picks or CFL Easy Picks at gmail.com. Week 13 just passed. AllBeerInside.com is live. You can subscribe in stars on iTunes for All Beer Inside. And All Beer Inside is also on Google Play. At All Beer Inside on Twitter if you want to get your stuff in, or allbeerinside@gmail.com if you want to send us some articles to talk about, a tournament we can do, whatever you would find us entertainingly talk about. The episode should be out within 2 weeks from today, episode 18.
Awesome. Thanks, Carp. Heavy Set, what do you got?
I have this little show on the Training Topics Network called Hanging with Heavy. You can check that out right here on the brand new TrainingTopicsNetwork.com. But also, probably more importantly, I have Wrestling Cheers, which is my I don't say my bigger project, only because it's just I have a little bit more stuff with it. As in, you can find me on, or find it on Facebook, Facebook.com/WrestlingCheers, Twitter, Twitter.com/WrestlingCheers, Instagram, Instagram.com/WrestlingCheers, email, hell, if you want, WrestlingCheers@gmail.com. And you can also rate, review, and subscribe to Wrestling Cheers on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, WrestlingCheers.podbean.com, and of course, tune in. I think that's all my plugs.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Heavy Set. So for Carpe Diem, Heavy Set, this is Old School saying, thank you very much.
Bye!
For listening.
If you talk or text at the Alamo Drafthouse Cinema, you'll float too. 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 You'll float too.
What is dead may rise again, and the past cannot stay buried for long. So when Universal needed a cinematic universe, they dug up the rotting, bloated corpse of The Mummy. Experience the terror of a film without a soul that lacks the fun of the Brendan Fraser version, misses the horror of the original, and settles into its own stale blend of action blockbuster cliches that managed to kill all hype for the Dark Universe before it even began. Because when you want to murder a franchise by cramming it full of spinoff bait, you get the guy who did the exact same thing to Spider-Man. How about Kurtzman uses his powers for good and writes a Transformers movie? Oh, he did? Twice? Ugh. The Mummy is back, and she's all hot now, complete with sexy henna tattoos, strategically rotting bandages to keep a PG-13 rating, and the power to suck you dry. She's back to take revenge on the world after they punished her for making a deal with the devil, a deal that gave her the power to kill 2 sleeping people and a baby. Not sure you had to bring the devil into that. And the only way to stop her is to resurrect the god of death by pairing the magic dagger with a super gem, then kill the host before the ritual is complete. And shit like this is exactly why people don't go to the movies anymore.
Stop it! Stop! Stop it! Stop!
Journey to Egypt for a few minutes, then journey to London because it's way cheaper to shoot there, and meet Nick Morton, a younger man.
You are a younger man.
Proof that some people are such boring dicks that even Tom Cruise can't make them charming. Watch him bumble from action scene to exposition dump without pausing to develop his character beyond homeschooled Indiana Jones.
There's writing on it.
Hieroglyphics.
Respectfully, I'm not interested in archaeological jargon.
In this rare Cruise misfire that plays against his greatest strength as an actor.
You can't run.
Sorry, broski. Tom's gotta run. It's in his contract right next to the hang from something clause. Sit through this loose collection of studio notes masquerading as a single movie that somehow manages to talk down to you.
No stone, no ritual, no ritual,
no curse.
While also being so vague and sloppy, you don't know what's going on half the time.
Thank you for bringing me back to life and everything, Nick, but what are we even doing here? Where are we going?
With one unholy purpose holding it all together. Make the Dark Universe happen. As this movie about a mummy stops dead in its tracks to introduce its own version of Nick Fury.
My name is Jekyll, Dr. Henry Jekyll.
Its own version of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Welcome to Prodigium.
And its very own Hall of Spinoffs. Oh, hey, I spied the creature from the Black Lagoon's arm over there. Oh, my grandpa would have been so excited if he were still alive. Miss you, Pop-Pop. So if the prospect of an action movie universe starring guys in their 50s fighting monsters from the 30s excites you, saddle up for the first and potentially last time you'll get to see it before Universal gets the crazy idea to, and I know this is nuts, but just hear me out, actually do something scary and original with a horror movie? Get out. I don't believe it. Starring Indiana Phones It In, An American Ripoff in London, Dr. Lady, M.D., finding monsters fighting around the world, a waste of a perfectly good Courtney B. Vance. This is Thriller, Thriller Night, a swarm of spiders, a swarm of rats, a swarm of birds, a swarm of terrible reviews, and Brendan Fraser. Aw, how hard would it have been to throw the guy a cameo? Where is he these days? Tom Cruise Runs from Sand, featuring The Mummy. This movie was so rushed, they accidentally posted the trailer without music or sound effects.
No!
Yes, this is real.